Welcome to Just a Minute.
Thank you. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the Minute Waltz fades away, once more it's my huge pleasure to welcome our many listeners, not only in this country, but around the world. And also to welcome to the programme four exciting, talented performers who are going to show their skill with words and language as they speak on a subject that I give them, and they try and do that without hesitation, repetition or deviation. And they are, seated on my right, Paul Merton and Jenny Eclair, and seated on my left, Fern Britton and Giles Brandreth. Please welcome all four of them. Find me. Hayley Sterling, who's going to help me with the score, run the stopwatch for me, and blow a whistle when the 60 seconds have elapsed. And we begin the show this week with Giles Brandreth. Giles, Lost in Translation. That is a subject. Quite an erudite one, but I'm sure you can go on it with confidence, starting now.
Lost in Translation is the name of a movie, but it's also a phrase that I first heard when I was at prep school, given to me by my Latin master shortly before his arrest, when he said to me, "In loco parentis, Brandreth, what does that mean?" And I said, "I think you translate it as, my dad's an engine driver." He told me, "Something has got lost in translation, boy," and then proceeded to give me six of the best, which turned out to be half a dozen of the worst, and was one of the reasons for his subsequent incarceration in the local prison. Now, Lost in Translation now refers to how I feel when watching the television with the subtitles up. I recently...
Paul Challenge.
Well, by Giles's high standards, that was a hesitation.
It was by his high standards, yes. And Paul challenged Giles, and it was a correct challenge, so he gets a point for that. And there are 18 seconds still available for you, Paul. Lost in Translation, starting now.
When I went to see the film Lost in Translation, it was its opening weekend, and it was billed very much as a comedy. And I thought at the time it wasn't particularly funny. But then afterwards, it turned out that people were seeing it more as a romantic drama. So this is often how cinematic experiences can be misleading, because the publicity tells you one thing.
In this game, whoever is speaking when the whistle goes gains an extra point. It was Paul Merton on this occasion, so at the end of the round, he's not only in the lead, he's the only one to have scored. Fern Britton, we'd like you to begin the next round. Oh, what a lovely subject. Venice. Tell us something about that beautiful city in this game, starting now.
I witnessed a death in Venice some years ago. I went out to dinner with my husband and we were sitting in a restaurant. There was one room and then a secondary room.
Oh! Oh, I resent myself. I hate myself. I want to know the murder story. Did you kill him? It was room and room.
Are you spending
yes,
room
I understand,
twice?
Of course.
Why did
course.
I do it?
I don't know, Jenny.
I'm
perhaps there. You're keen to win. Mm.
You know me so well.
Right, Jenny, you have a correct challenge.
No, Jenny, it's fine. I was remembering it all and it was terrifying, but maybe I'll let you know later.
I don't know what you're talking about, Fern.
The death in Venice.
Oh, the death in Venice.
Yes.
Oh. What with, what's his name, the actor?
No, this was a real one.
Oh. Oh, well, we must get back to you, mustn't we? Jenny, a correct challenge. You have 49 seconds available. Venice, starting now.
Venice is the only thing that never lets you down. Every time I go, I think, this is a fairy tale. Do it properly. Get a water taxi. Drop yourself off at the Peggy Guggenheim. Have a Bellini in Harry's bar. A coffee in that coffee opera. Yes. Confirm, have it back. I want to know about the death in Venice.
Well, I'm afraid Paul challenged first.
Yes, I'm sorry I'm not Fern challenging. I don't know what came over me.
The rules are just a minute. Paul, you challenge first. A correct challenge. A point to you. Venice is with you. 32 seconds available, starting now.
So I was sitting in this restaurant with my husband when I suddenly noticed that the diner next to me was having a very difficult feat of choking over their spaghetti. So I called over the head waiter and he said, "Excuse me, madam, can I help you?" I said, "Yes, my name's Fern Britton." And I'm a bit worried.
Thank you, Janet.
Did it not happen like that?
No, it didn't. It didn't happen like that. Oh, I know. I know this is neither truth or fact, but no, you're not a madam. You're not called Fern Britton, and that's not what he said.
Deviation.
So deviation.
Yeah, deviation.
So Fern, well listened. Point to you. 21 seconds available, Fern. Venice starting now.
There was a kerfuffle, and my husband and I looked over... Yes, husband. It was my second husband,
Second husband. You shouldn't have gone back to that restaurant again.
I tell you what, Vernet, you haven't played the game as much as the
You're
others.
You're so kind.
We won't chant any points on that. We have to give one to Paul because it was a correct challenge, shall we?
Yeah, fair enough.
Yes, that's right. We'll leave it with you, Vern. Venice, 16 seconds, starting now.
A man was under the table. Many waiters were surrounding him. The man... Yeah, no, it's fair enough. It's fair enough. Was that you again?
It was you again. Previously, Paul, you had a correct challenge, and there are still 11 seconds on this subject. And it's still Venice starting now.
Death in Venice starring Dirk Bogarde. What's the problem?
Charles challenge.
The problem is earlier, he's confused you. Paul has confused you by identifying himself as Fern earlier. And therefore, when I challenge, you assume it was Paul dressed as Fern. It's all to do... with your phone.
What are you talking about, Giles?
I did challenge as well.
Oh, did you? I'm so sorry.
Paul's light came up first on my little machine here.
Oh, fine.
So here was the first to challenge.
But that was the confusion over this side.
So have you got a...
Nothing useful to say at all.
Well, then Paul gets another point.
Of course he does. Richly deserved.
Does anybody remember how this show used to work?
Right, Paul, there are still 6 seconds available for you, and we've got another point, of course. Venice, starting now.
As I stood on one of those famous bridges looking at the celebrated landscape, I realised deep in my heart that I'm always...
So Paul Merton was then speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point. He has leapt forward. Jenny's got one, Fern's got one, Giles has yet to score. It's... It all changed soon.
I'm just showing it can be done.
Jenny, it's your turn to begin. The subject is superfoods. Tell us something about this subject in this game starting now.
The trouble with superfoods is they change all the time. One minute it's goji berries, next kale, which used to be pig's will. The selenium thing is contained in an almond, at least that's what I recall, which stops dementia. May have got the wrong nut. I haven't eaten enough of them, obviously. Omega-3 in salmon. Of course, the original superfood was spinach. Eat great bags of the stuff and turn yourself into Popeye. Personally, I think a superfood is anything that makes you feel super. Like if you've got a hangover and you find that grilled sausage underneath the grill and it's a surprise.
No, I withdraw. That was
I think you probably thought I said grill twice, but I said grill and grilled.
Yes, you did. Merely to congratulate you on that perfect playing of the game.
Jenny, you've got another point.
Okay.
You've got 13 seconds. Superfoods starting now.
Baked beans, aren't they marvellous? Eggs as well. You've got everything inside a shell. Get it boiled.
Paul challenge.
But it's not everything inside an egg.
No.
No. You haven't got the Taj Mahal. Mm. You haven't got Sir Alex Ferguson, ex-manager of Manchester United. Mm. Those are just two of the things I can think of that aren't inside an egg.
An ovary egg, you'd have a tiny child in it, maybe. That's quite...
I don't know where we're going with this. Paul, benefit of the doubt, a correct challenge. 6 seconds available still. Superfoods starting now.
Superman walks into a delicatessen. He says to the man behind the counter, I would like to have a packet of those mung beans.
So Paul Merton, speaking as a whistle went, gained that extra point and has increased his lead at the end of the round. And Paul, it's your turn to begin. And the subject is James Bond. Tell us something about that iconic figure and character in this game, starting now.
My favourite James Bond film is perhaps the first, Dr. No, where Sean Connery plays the suave, sophisticated, cold-blooded killer. This is before the funny quips crept into the movies, and he's a very believable character because he is handsome and sultry, but also ruthless. He makes love to this beautiful woman and then shoots her dead the following morning. It's a gripping kind of story that hadn't been seen in cinema before, where the hero was very much a kind of anti-hero, which is a hyphenated phrase.
So what a pity. So
he gets another point, Nicholas.
I know he does. And there are 31 seconds still available, Paul. James Bond, starting now.
There are many other stories in the canon, from Russia with Love, Goldfinger, Thunderball, On Her Majesty's Secret Service. I could list them very longly, but that would be very bad.
That's challenge.
Very longly.
Very longly.
Yes.
It's a safari park.
Deviation from facts and jars you've got in. Having got another point. Not another point, you've got your first point, actually.
The first of many.
Hmm. 22 seconds available, Giles, starting now.
When, as a young actor, I aspired to the role of James Bond, my good friend, the late Sir Roger Moore, told me that he would teach me everything he knew. He said, it's all a matter of raising your eyebrows. Left one up, and then the right should go as well.
Paul Giles.
Well, hesitation.
No.
No, I don't think so.
Are you emulating his acting style, were you?
He was teaching on an hesitation, but didn't quite achieve it.
Sure.
So he gets a point for an incorrect challenge. He still has 6 seconds, Giles. James Bond, starting now.
No doubt at all that my other favourite was George Lazenby, a model who had appeared advertising chocolate.
So Giles Brandreth was then speaking as a whistle went, gained that extra point. And Giles, we're back with you to begin. The subject is Man Flu. It's quite an entertaining subject. Tell us something about it, Giles, in this game, starting now.
The world has become a cruel place for us men. We are now a beleaguered breed. Man flu, that's what I'm told I have when I'm nearly at death's door. Wheezing, spluttering, the eyes streaming, the nostrils with mucus all over my sore upper lip. Flu, she says contemptuously, throwing some Calpol, suitable normally for the grandchildren, my way. Man flu, when one is actually suffering terribly. Poor men nowadays are obliged to be...
Jenny Chan.
Men and men.
Mm. You talked about men.
Yes,
before.
Exactly. You see, they're all ganging up on...
No, they're playing the game correctly. That was a correct challenge, Jenny. 27 seconds are still available. Tell us something about man flu, starting now.
The opposite of man flu is woman flu, when the female of the species will have a temperature of 3.5 billion, and yet...
Paul challenge.
Deviation from the subject of man flu.
Oh, that's...
We're talking about woman flu now, so...
Yeah. Well, I don't think she went long enough to establish it.
No, you're quite right.
So we give her the benefit of the doubt. And if I can read rest the balance later, Paul, I will. Because she only went for a second or two. There's still 18 seconds available for you, Jenny, on man flu, starting now.
Man flu, of course, is when a chap has a tiny sniffle and he malingers in bed where...
Giles,
this is typical abuse. I'm so sorry. The time has come for us to stand up, Nicholas. I mean, no, honestly, it's just awful. The whole thing, life is so humiliating now.
If there are any victims in this country, it must be the white middle-class male.
It is. We are, honestly, it's just too much. I held the door open earlier for your wife. She hit me across the face. And you told me not to patronise
her. My wife would never hit you across the face, Giles. She loves you very much.
Well, it was a bit of a game, I agree. Can't say that nowadays either. I do apologise. I spend the whole day on Twitter apologising for what I've just sent out on Twitter. The whole thing is a nightmare.
And so what is your challenge within the rules of just a minute? None. Giles, I'm going to give you a bonus point because we enjoyed what you said. But that's from the generosity of my heart.
I will shut up.
But you did interrupt Jenny was speaking, wasn't you?
Yes, it was.
And there are still 10 seconds, Jenny, for you on Man Flu, starting now.
There he is, hogging the duvet, demanding that you put Vicks vapor rub on the soles of his feet and fix him a hot toddy, when in actual fact...
So Jenny Eclair speaking as a whistle wind gained that extra point, and she's now moved forward. She's still behind Paul Merton, but she's two ahead of Giles Brandreth and Fern Britton. And Fern, we're with you to begin. The subject, karaoke. Tell us something about that strange activity in this game, starting now.
I don't understand karaoke. I think it's one of the worst hobbies anyone could ever have. You stand in a club, look at some screen with words dancing around on it, and you have to sing along to something you simply don't know, clearly, as I'm discussing it. And I had once a karaoke machine given to me for Christmas, and I loaded it with lots of CDs, and we sang some terrible songs very badly, and quickly it was sent to the charity shop. I don't know why people would like to spend an evening singing karaoke, or indeed listening to it. It is dreadful. People think they can sing, but they're caterwauling. I know I'm rabbiting, and they're all being very quiet at the moment, because they're hoping I might get to 60 seconds. I'm not sure that's true, but if you had 60 seconds of me singing... Well done! Well done! Well done!
Well done. Yes, you win for 52 seconds.
Poorly.
So, as she hasn't played the game very much before, let's get a bonus point for 52 seconds.
Thanks.
But Paul challenged you with 8 seconds to go.
What, yes, unfortunately, repetition of 60 seconds.
Yes, yeah, and that's fair enough. Mm. You know, yeah.
Well, it's correct, actually, isn't it? So, Paul, another point to you. 8 seconds available. Karaoke starting now.
Karaoke was the sister of Annie Oakey, known as the sharpest shooter in the Wild West. And the thing about karaoke is she was a wonderful...
So, Paul Merton, speaking as the whistle went again, that extra point has increased his lead at the end of the round. And Jenny Eclair, we're with you to begin the next round. A Greasy Spoon Cafe. 60 seconds if you need it, starting now.
I love a proper greasy spoon. I want a plate piled with fried eggs, baked beans all slopping together, sausages, fried bread. That's the ticket. Fried bread.
Giles challenged.
Repetition, yes. Fried.
Yeah, there's a bit too much frying there,
amateur,
Jenny.
Amateur.
So, Giles, another point. You've got him with 48 seconds to go on A Greasy Spoon Cafe, starting now.
Outside the Palace Theatre in Southend, where I shall shortly be appearing, there is a beautiful Greasy Spoon Cafe where they serve you the full English breakfast.
Why will you be appearing outside the theatre? Have you got a job as a busker?
I'll be standing by my hat, waiting for people to throw in their coins.
Logically, it's a very good challenge, isn't it?
Just.
Well, I will be appearing outside it to promote it, to hand out the leaflets, you know.
I know what you meant, that you will be appearing inside, but you didn't actually say
that. What I was meaning...
Yes.
I didn't say this, and maybe when we play it back, as obviously I will be doing later. I think I was saying I was outside the Palace Theatre, and outside the Palace Theatre is this Greasy Spoon Cafe.
Yes.
I think that's what I probably said.
In that case...
You said you were appearing outside.
No,
you...
Well, yes, appearing, comma, outside.
And outside the South End Theatre, where I was surely be appearing.
There's a lady on the front row who knows.
Theatre, there I am appearing.
Ah, thank you. This is why women are right about man flu. They understand. They have an instinctive understanding of what men are trying to say and do.
So a bonus point to that lady in the front row there. And Paul, benefit of the doubt to you, and you take the subject, because you challenge first, and there are 42 seconds available. A Greasy Spoon Cafe starting now.
I rendezvoused with Nicholas Parsons outside the Greasy Spoon Cafe, Cairo. Our mission was to go into the Valley of Kings, to search through the pyramids, to find the remains, if we could, of Tutankhamun's brother, Tutankhamun. And as we wandered through, we suddenly realised that the Egyptian sun was pounding on our brow. We hadn't brought any provisions with us. Cannibalism was in our minds. As we looked at each other, he took a bite out of my left leg, and I reciprocated. Soon there was nothing left apart from our teeth munching at each other's earlobes. It was the most extraordinary evil sight. A documentary was made about it for ITV by Alan Wicker. And...
Jenny, you've challenged.
Deviation from the subject, yes. Greasy spoon.
Oh, yeah. Well, his ear tasted a bit like a greasy spoon. Other than that, absolutely deviation.
Yeah.
It was great.
Oh, yeah, well, thanks for interrupting it.
Jenny, you've got him with 5 seconds to go. You get another point, of course. A greasy spoon cafe starting now.
Follow a fat builder because they know where the best greasy spoons in town are.
So, Jenny Eclair was speaking as we went. Gained that extra point. Has moved forward. She's still in second place, but she's just behind Paul Merton, ahead of Giles Brandreth and Fern Britton in that order. And Paul Merton, we're back with you to begin. The subject, the Emperor's New Clothes, starting now.
Well, it's a story about an emperor at some new clothes, and there's a boy in the crowd that points out, in fact, he isn't wearing any clothes at all. And despite the fact that the emperor's advisers have said, oh, emperor, you look marvellous in your new clothes, he wasn't wearing anything at all. And this small child amongst the assembled throng was able to point out his deficiencies. Now, I was once thinking of getting myself a tailor, so I decided to go to Savile Row. And I said, can you recommend anything that I could possibly wear? And I showed them a picture of Nicholas Parsons. They said, ah, this is the very epitome of elegance.
Challenge.
We've gone so far from the emperor and his new clothes.
I don't know.
Yes, we have. I'm sorry, Nicholas, we have.
We're now in Savile Row. You mentioned me, and I thought that was
talking
quite close.
Clothes. I'm talking about clothes.
You are a prince, Nicholas, but you're not an emperor. You wouldn't want to.
You're working hard for your bonus point, aren't you?
It's the emperor's new clothes is the subject.
Yes.
It's
not going I'm quite happy to say it was deviation.
Well done, Paul. You're very generous.
Yes.
A point to Giles. The subject, the Emperor's New Clothes, with you, Giles. 31 seconds available, starting now.
As I am devoted to the works of Hans Christian Andersen, I do know that the Emperor's New Clothes does not involve him being actually naked, as was implied by Paul. There was underpinnings, garments below what would be called the new clothes in the story. And intriguingly, when the great Danish writer was at the printer, that was when he had the wonderful idea of making the child, the boy in the crowd, call out. He is wearing no garments at all. And thus is the origin of...
Giles Brandreth, displaying his knowledge and erudition there, kept going till the whistle went, gained that extra point. He has moved forward. He's still in third place, but he's moved, right. And we're into the final round. Oh. I'll give you the score as we move into the final round. Yes, Fern Britton, who hasn't played the game as much as the others... But she's been wonderful so far, and...
How many points have I actually got? Well, I know I'm last.
Just accept the fact that you're in a very strong fourth place.
All right.
And you're trailing Giles Brandreth by about 5 points. And he's 1 point behind Jenny Eclair, and Jenny's about 3 or 4 points behind Paul Merton, who's still in the lead. Oh. And Giles Brandreth, it's your turn to begin, and the subject now is board games. Tell us something about board games in this show starting now.
Some people are indeed bored when playing board games, but I am not one of them. I am devoted to board games that go back 1,000 years and more. The ancient Egyptians, Chinese, Africans all played board games. But the one that gets me going is invented in the 1930s, Monopoly. My dear late...
Paul Challenge.
The one that gets me going is invented in the 1930s.
The historic present. Using the historic present because it's much appreciated on Radio 4. Mm. Indeed, there was a lovely programme with Stephen Fry and Michael Rosen the other afternoon on Radio 4 talking about the value of the historic present and how we need to hear it more regularly on the rounds. I mean, it's only part of the mission to explain something which I know you and Lord Reith discussed when devising the programme initially.
You're the greatest verbaliser I know. And it's a very clever way of trying to get
I concede,
out of a situation.
I concede. Yes. I'm never going to catch up, so I concede. No, but I'm happy to concede. How do
the
we
way you were going on, no one would have thought that. Paul, I give you the benefit of the doubt. And another point to Paul. And 39 seconds available. Board games starting now.
I used to play Cluedo when I was a young boy against my sister, but I found it a rather boring game, so I would cheat. I'd play the game for a certain amount of time and then come up with the killer because I'd looked at the card earlier. She didn't really mind because she was younger than me and she enjoyed it. Reverend Green with a candlestick in the library was the usual culprit, and I thought to myself that it must be a better board game than this. Chess is an extremely difficult game to play. I'm intrigued by it, of course.
Jenny Chan.
Game and Game. The title, it's Board Games. Mm.
The Board Games is a subject, and you use the word game.
Sure.
Well, listen, Jenny, and you've got him with 15 seconds to go. Board Games starting now.
Picture the scene, Christmas 2018. It is the day before, and my sister calls up from Wales.
Fern Challenge.
No board games being mentioned in that.
I was about to say...
But a beautiful use of the historic present.
The board games are coming because the Wi-Fi is broken. She's.
I tell you what I'm going to do now. The points I give are not going to make any difference to the final score. And so we give Fern a point because we enjoyed the challenge.
Oh,
and Charles a point because he's a pedant on language.
Oh,
another
no.
Another point for Charles. And what about Jenny? Won't make any difference to the final score. Jenny a point because she was interrupted. Right. And so everybody's got a point except Paul, but he's in the lead, so he couldn't care less. So 7 seconds available, Jenny, starting now.
Ah, Sarah says there's no Wi-Fi. Bring all the board games you can. Fortunately, I'd bought my nephew a bingo game about loyalty.
And I think that was for the last round. Let me give you the final score. Fern Britton, who did so well, but still finished in fourth place, but she hasn't had the same practice as the others. And she was quite a few points behind Charles Brandreth, who was 2 or 3 points behind Jenny Eclair, and Jenny was 3 or 4 points behind Paul Merton. So we say, Paul, you are the winner this week. We do hope you have enjoyed this edition. Oh, just a minute. Remains for me to say once more, thank you to these 4 fine, exciting, erudite players of the game, Paul Merton, Jenny Eclair, Fern Britton and Giles Brandreth. I thank Hayley Sterling, who's helped me with the score. Right. She's blown her whistle with great style when the 60 seconds elapsed. And we're thankful to our producer, Matt Strong. We're deeply indebted to Ian Messiter, who created this amazing game. So from our audience here in the radio theatre, from me, Nicholas Parsons, and the team, goodbye, thank you, and tune in when we play Just a Minute!